Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the government has agreed to introduce a new national living wage, which will replace the minimum wage by 2026. A living wage is defined as the minimum amount people need to live and take part in Irish society. The plan will involve setting the living wage at 60% of national median earnings. Minister for Enterprise Leo Varadkar says that the measure will benefit many hundreds of thousands of low-paid workers in Ireland, but has been criticised by the opposition because it won't be delivered within this Dáil term. We're joined now from our Dáil studio by Damien English, Minister for Business, Employment and Retail, and also by Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin spokesperson on Enterprise, Trade and Employment. And you're both very welcome to the programme this afternoon. We might start with yourself, Minister, and just very briefly, if you could, what will be the difference between the new living wage and the minimum wage?
Yeah, well, effectively, year one of the new living wage kicks in this year with an 80% increase. So what we set out here is a four-step journey to get to the living wage by 2026. It'll be based on about 60% of the median wage at that time. Looking ahead, if that was implemented immediately in January this year, it would be 13.10 approximately. You can't estimate exactly where it'll be by 2026, but it could be, on today's figure, somewhere around 13.70. Already, the Taoiseach has agreed to an 80% increase in the minimum wage and the government and the cabinet for January this year. So we're certainly beginning this journey immediately, which is different to what Sinn Féin claim. We are starting phase one of it now. It is a four-year term. Naturally, everybody would like to improve the paying conditions for low pay as quickly as you possibly can. We have to balance that by protecting their jobs, and we're very clear on Fine Gael and very strong on this. We have to build on the progress that we've made to date by improving the terms and conditions for workers when it comes to sick pay, auto-enrolment, minimum wage increases, but it has to also be in a careful way not to affect jobs in a negative way. And this decision by government and announcement by the Taoiseach yesterday is based on research and work done by the Low Pay Commission, which involves employers and unions and many others, and public consultation as well. So we think we're taking the right approach here to make it affordable for employers, but also very beneficial to low pay workers. And they know they're on a journey to the living wage by 2026. There is a room in the scheme to allow for the Low Pay Commission to recommend a speedier delivery of that if possible. But they have to bear that in mind on the impacts on jobs and the hours of work as well, because we are, as a country, in a strong position to have 2.5 million people at work. But we can't take that for granted. We have to protect that, enhance it, make them better jobs, better pay, but we have to be very, very careful that we don't put too much pressure on our small businesses when they're trying to create these jobs and protect these jobs as well.
Okay, Louise O'Reilly, it could be up to 13.70. It really depends on what the median wage is in 4 years' time when we get to the higher limit and what 60% of the median wage is. Would that be acceptable to Sinn Féin, or what do you think it should be?
I think it should be set at 66 and the 66%. And the reason I do is because the Central Statistics Office, in their report, Survey on Income Living Conditions, defined 60% as the at-risk of poverty rate, whereas the Low Pay Commission, in their report, said having the living wage rate set at 66% of the median wage will eradicate low-wage employment for all workers earning at or above that living wage rate. So 66% is the rate at which income, those in work, will get themselves out of poverty. And I suppose there isn't, you know, I agree with much of what has been said by Damien there, and we want to see the living wage. What we wanted to see, though, was to see it accelerated. It's a very long-standing policy of Sinn Féin. It's very welcome that the government are now embracing that, but we think that there is scope to move faster. We also think that workers need a pay rise. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and, you know, for many people, their bills are going up. Those on the minimum wage will see that their wages will not rise anywhere close to the level of inflation. And with every move like that, low-income workers get left further and further behind.
OK, Damien, on that issue of 66% versus 60%, why didn't you go for the 66%, which would bring workers off the poverty line?
Yeah, to be very clear, this decision is based on a lot of research over the last 16 months. The Taoiseach asked the Low Pay Commission to begin this work back in early 2021. They enlisted Maynooth University to do a lot of research and gather the evidence that what could you achieve in an Irish context and the journey to a living wage. The international norm is around 60%. They come back and have recommended that in the first stage we should go to 60% of the median wage, and they recommend to us that that's the best way to to give people a decent living wage, but also protect their job in the first place, and that you won't see a reduction in the hours of those jobs. They have said as a recommendation that when we get to that stage, then we can look at the impacts that has had on the country and on job creation and on protecting those jobs. And then they have recommended that at that stage that you look to go as far as 66%. Okay. We have decided to take the recommendations on full because we think this gets the balance right. And, okay. and it's important we do that. They've also recommended that we look at ongoing supports for small businesses who will find this a difficult jump to try to match in the time frame here. So yeah. we will work with smart businesses to do that as well.
If you went to 66% in this first phase, Louise, there could be a danger to jobs. There could be a danger to the hours people are working because employers simply won't be able to pay.
But I think, you know, there's a couple of things in that, Sarah. One, nobody is suggesting that we would go to 66 overnight. And in Sinn Féin's proposal, that submission that we made, we agreed that it should be phased. We think it can be done in the term of this government. We think it should be done
in two and a half years. 2 years, but, really.
What I would say is this. The worker representatives who sat on the Low Pay Commission dissented from the report that Damien is quoting there. And they recommended 66%. Percent in there, the minority report.
Sorry, Sarah, to be clear on this now, in the recommendations on the Low Pay Commission on the living wage, there was unanimous support, is my understanding. They might have differed on the recommendation for the increase on the minimum wage, not on the living wage. And while we all would like to see that 66%, you have to get there in a very careful way. I personally think Sinn Féin have form when it comes to putting extra charges and taxes on jobs that could jeopardise them. They also want to have increased
wages PRSI. Wages aren't a tax on jobs, Damien.
Sorry, in relation to protecting jobs, I said you have form. Repeatedly you want to increase the PRSI as well. I think the Fine Gael approach is right here. You'd have to get the balance right by improving the terms and conditions, increasing the living wage, or say the minimum wage, repeatedly over the last 8 recommendations, and getting on the journey to a living wage, which gives people, I think, stability and certainty looking into the future, protect their jobs and improve them.
Okay.
We've also introduced the sick pay as well, and we're on a journey to auto enrollment as well.
Okay,
that's
and
important.
I just want to get clear from Louise, do you accept that there could be a danger to jobs and the hours people are working if you introduce 66% in the next 2 years?
I think if the phased introduction is announced and employers are given time to deal with that, no, I don't believe that there will be a threat. I actually think that, you know, those workers will have an opportunity. They'll have more money in their pocket, more money to spend in the local economy. And we know that low income workers, when they get a pay increase, that goes straight back into the local economy. But what
do you have any research to show that it wouldn't affect jobs if you were to do what you're proposing to do?
Well, the research from Maynooth only looked at 60%. It didn't look at 66%.
That's not the case, Louise. The Maynooth research, with the recommendations back to Maynooth or back to the Low Pay Commission, are very clear on this. They've recommended that we go to 60%. That's what they're saying to us as a government. We're taking on board that research because we believe in Fine Gael that you take on board evidence
when you're
making these
decisions.
But Damien,
just to be clear, did they tell you that if you went to 66%, you'd be affecting jobs and hours?
No.
So what they very clearly said was that the recommendation is to go to 60%, where they recommend that, in their opinion, based on research, that will not impact jobs and will not impact.
But did they say 66% would impact jobs?
Who is making this claim?
So Sarah, by nature of not recommending it, they also said that when you get to 60%, then you can review the impact on jobs, impact on hours, impact on the overall economy, and then continue with the journey to 66% if that's proven viable. So that's in the same thing as saying they recommend 60%.
But Damien, to be fair, if we were on that journey, well then workers on a low income would see an appreciable difference. But as we sit here, the national minimum wage is 51.8 or 51.9% of the median wage. Next year, with the increase taken into account, it will still be at that same rate. Mm-hmm. And what happens is low-income workers get left behind. What we wanted to see was more ambition from this government.
Okay, well, let's talk about ambition for a second. We'll leave the 66 versus 60 aside, and hopefully people are following us on that particular aspect of it. But on the timeline, Damien, you're talking about 4 years. It'll be 2026 before this is introduced. I wonder, do you have any fear that that timeline could easily slip? Because you said it could be done faster, but the thought has also said it could be done slower, depending on the economy. And we've already said, with the sick pay or sick leave that you were talking about there, that the government agreed on in March, passed legislation in July, was meant to be introduced this year, and it's not going to be introduced this year now. So, you know, there is form there and slipping timelines.
Yeah, to be very clear, I don't have a fear, providing we make the right decisions to protect our economy. If we don't protect our economy and make the right budget decisions, and I believe that's why I wouldn't like to take Sinn Féin's approach in general to budgets. If we protect our economy and if we're still in a good position, this will stay on the committed timeline by government, which is a minimum of 4 years. It can be achieved quicker, and the Low Pay Commission are given that space to make those recommendations. What's important for me here, and for us in government, the Taoiseach has started this. We are now committed to a national living wage. That wasn't the case 2 months ago. It's now the case now. It starts in January year one, and that work will be completed in 4 years' time.
The recommendation might be completed depending on how things are going, and the first step leaves workers in exactly the same position as they are, which is those on the minimum wage will still be at just under 52% of the median income next year as they were this year. So yeah, that's
so
not
to be
progress.
Clear, there's an increase of 80 cent in the minimum wage per hour come January, which is a difference of about €1,200 plus in take home pay. That's significant, and it's a major, and it's very, very important from my view that the budget did make those decisions to protect people's incomes, because we recognise under pressure with their cost of living, this will help. But Sarah, to be very clear, the recommendation was not to go beyond 5 years. The government has made the decision here to bring it to 4 years, and we hope that with the right policy decisions, which we believe we will make, that we will be in a place to achieve this in that time frame and quicker if possible.
All right, Louise, you had said, or Sinn Féin had said, that you wanted this introduced next year in 2023, this living wage increase, and you said that you published a plan to provide legal protections for employers who could show they couldn't afford to introduce it straight away. How would that work? What would an employer have to show to show that they couldn't afford it? Would it be a certain amount of profit cut, or what is it?
So as is the case with the national minimum wage contained within the legislation, there's a provision for employers, an inability to pay clause in it, for employers to go to the Labour Court. To the best of my knowledge, that clause hasn't been used, or if it has been used, it's been a very, very low number. We've had 20 years of a national minimum wage in place, and that clause hasn't been used by employers. But it is important, and it's also important that the issue is kept under constant review. And I suppose the main issue I would have is that the government say they have an ambition to move to a living wage, and that is good. That's Sinn Féin policy, and we absolutely welcome that they have taken that policy on board. But this year, workers on the minimum wage are 52% of the median income, and they will be next year. So that
I need to move on because I have a couple of other things to cover very quickly. But just very quickly on this, Louise, you're talking about introducing the living wage immediately and getting it up to 66% of median wage within 2 years. Have you spoken to employers about that, and have they told you they can do it?
We have, and you know, employers will tell you that they comply with government policy as they always do. And one of the things that you can do if you publish a plan and you give that certainty to employers is it gives them the capacity to be able to plan. So I think, you know, what we wanted to see from the government was more ambition in terms of low-income workers. Inflation is rising, and wages for those on the minimum wage are not keeping pace with inflation. And that means that they're falling further and further behind. 60% is the at-risk of poverty threshold. We think that there should be more ambition than that.
I think, Sarah, we have to be clear here, though. The bigger risk of poverty is if you don't have a job. And that's why it's important we get the balance right. Of course, we all want to see the improvements in people's term pay and conditions. That's why the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, has driven that agenda. We have to balance that very, very carefully with protecting and growing the jobs as well.
I just want to ask you about the abuse that we've heard over the last week or so in Blackrock College by the Spirit and Order. At this point, do you think an inquiry is now inevitable?
I think I'll take my lead from the Taoiseach and Taoiseach on this, and they said that all options are open here, and we have to work with everybody involved to get the right approach for justice here. I think it's really, really concerning. It's horrible to see the numbers of people affected here, and this has to be dealt with in a careful way. We've seen a lot of inquiries over the last number of years. We have to find the best way to do this, and I think there's a very open approach from government on that. Again, we'll sit down with all the opposition members as well, and people in the Dáil and others, to discuss the best way to achieve proper justice here, and that's important.
I also want to ask you briefly about the Russian ambassador, because the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, is currently in Washington DC, but he summoned the Russian ambassador to Ireland, to Ivy House. Will he be expelled? Should he be expelled?
Again, I think that meeting is still ongoing in Ivy House, so I don't know what's happening in it. I've listened to the debate on this over the last few days.
Well, I'll interrupt you to say that just literally in the last couple of minutes, news has come in. The Taoiseach has said the meeting was held with the Russian ambassador, and it was conveyed to him that Russia's behaviour was absolutely unacceptable. Micheál Martin told reporters that sanctions against members of the Irish government were part of Russia's propaganda effort, and asked if government would expel the Russian ambassador. Micheál Martin said the government would meet again to reflect and give further consideration on whether measures would be imposed against the ambassador or the embassy. Louise, just a final word to you on this. What do you think should happen?
I think the ambassador should be expelled. I agree with Damien's colleague, Neil Richmond, who said that after the meeting today, he should be pointed in the direction of Dublin Airport. I think he should be expelled. I think that sends the right message.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thank you both very much for joining us, Louise O'Reilly and Damien English. We'll take a break.